Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to find our text this morning. Appreciate Brother Ben stepping up, filling in for Brother Dean, who has lost his voice. And Sarah's really enjoying that for a couple of days. But thankful for this opportunity to come together. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. The Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Let's pray together. Merciful Father, thank you for the time we've had together already today. For the Sunday school hour, the classes, the time to pray together, to study your word together. For the time here to look back on the blessings of 2022, to have time to pray together, to have time to sing your praises together. And I pray that you've been glorified in what we've done already. And Father, now I pray that you would bless the time in your word. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe and obey. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Give us the power to go and do the things that you've called us to do. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Help us to be real disciples, true disciples, continuing in your word daily. And help us to be disciples who make disciples. Help us to take the gospel to our world, Lord, to reach our family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, strangers that we meet, neighbors. Help us to reach them with the gospel that they would be saved. If anyone hearing this message has never been born again, I pray that today they would hear and believe the gospel and call on the name of Jesus. For those who are saved, they would follow you in baptism and serve you faithfully. Lord, help all of us. For we are nothing without you, and we can do nothing without you. And I pray that this year we would live our lives in Christ like never before. Please help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the people said, amen. Please be seated. As you saw on the video, and maybe you remember the banners that we had displayed all last year, we had a lot about abounding in hope this year. Our focus throughout the year is going to be on life in Christ, because here's the reality: without Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But when you are born again, when your faith is in Christ, he not only gives you everlasting life, he doesn't just give you a home in heaven forever. It's not just that he gives you life, he is your life. Christ is our life, and our life, the life that we are living in this day and time, our life is hid in Christ, it's bound up in Christ, it's enveloped by Christ, and everything about us belongs to him because he purchased us with his blood. Your life is not your own, for you are bought with a price, and that price was Christ and his blood, and we belong to him, not just our souls, not just our eternal spirits, but every part of our lives belongs to him. Now, most of you are kind of nodding. You're like, amen, we get that. That's good. But listen, I've grown up in churches my whole life, and I've known a lot of people who profess Christ. But for a lot of Christians in America in particular today, Jesus is somebody who is part of our lives on Sundays, and then we kind of live our own lives through the rest of the week, and we come back around and say, thank you, Jesus, for the blessings of the week. Please bless the rest this next week. And we kind of do our own thing. But that's not the way the Word of God describes the Christian life. The Christian life is really bound up in Jesus. He's not just a part of our life. He is our life. And what I hope that God will do in our hearts this year, my heart and yours, is that every aspect of our lives, every moment of every day, will be bound up in Jesus. That we won't just come to church to talk about Jesus, learn about Jesus, but every moment of every day will be all about him, because he is our life. He is our life. So as we walk through these few verses this morning, The first question that we have to answer is, in verse 1 it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So the first question is, are you risen with Christ? Now that's a question that I can't answer for you. That's a question that your mommy and daddy can't answer for you. That's not a question that your wife can answer for you men, or you men can answer for your wives. It's a question that you have to answer personally. Are you personally risen with Christ? What does that even mean? Well, he's making a statement here, and we're picking up in the middle of chapter, or at the beginning of chapter 3, in the middle of the letter, so we have to understand what that means. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your, what's that next word? What's that next word? Faith. Your faith in Christ. Now look at what he says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So what do we have to do? In verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, if you're risen, and to go back and see what he's talking about. And in chapter 2, he says, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that through faith, you have died to yourself and you are risen with Christ. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. Why? Why did God become a man and live a sinless life? Why did he fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law? Why did he suffer and bleed and give up the ghost on the cross? He did that for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died the death that we deserve. He didn't commit any sin, but he became sin for us, so that he could pay for, atone for, be the propitiation for our sins. So when Jesus died, he died for our sins. He was buried, and he did not stay buried. He did not stay dead. He did not stay in the tomb, but on the third day, he rose again. Up from the grave, he arose, and he triumphed over not only his foes, but your foes. Our greatest enemy is death, and Jesus defeated death when he not only laid down his life, but he took it up again. And so the scripture tells us that when we come to God by faith in Jesus, get this, not only did Jesus die for us and rise again, but we are to die and he has brought us to new life again. It's Romans chapter 6. Buried with him by baptism, we rise up to walk in newness of life. So what's he saying here? This is critical. I need you to stay with me. You are not made alive by water baptism. A lot of you in the room have been baptized. How many of you have been water baptized? Can I see your hands? Been baptized? Was that special? It was special for me. Now, like a lot of young people in Baptist churches, I've been baptized twice. Only one of them counts. Actually, I was baptized a lot by my cousins growing up in the swimming pool and at the lake. Anybody else get baptized a lot when you were growing up? I'm just telling you, my sister, I'm not going to talk bad about her. I'm still scared of her. But my cousins, they were evil to me when I was growing up. They tried repeatedly to kill me. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm alive. And I'll never forget one time my cousin kept baptizing me at Greenleaf Lake. Anybody know where that is? That's like the nastiest swimming hole in northeast Oklahoma. It's gross. But we were swimming up there, and he kept baptizing me, and it was not in the spirit at all. And I remember he's about 3 years older than me, and I finally decided one time while I was under the water I wasn't taking any more, so I came up swinging. And I popped him as hard as I could in the nose, and blood went everywhere. And I started crying because I thought I was about to die for real then. But it was all fine. My mom just laughed at us, and he didn't kill me, and it was all good. I was baptized twice in the church. Once I wasn't really born again. I hadn't been saved yet, but I was confused about that as a young person and got baptized. It didn't do anything. I just got wet. But later I was actually born again. And I remember when I was baptized after I was saved, it's special to me. I don't think I'll ever forget that moment. And what was special about it? What was special was that I was obeying Jesus. I was doing what he told me to do. I had put my faith in him, and the scriptures teach us that when you believe in Jesus, you get baptized. Those that gladly receive his word were baptized. The eunuch that's being preached to by Philip on the road when he preaches Jesus to him, he says, "See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" People who believed in Jesus in scripture, they wanted to be baptized. They wanted to identify as followers of Jesus. They wanted to keep the ordinance that he had given. And can I just commend to you today that if you have trusted Jesus, that you ought to be baptized. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you ought to be baptized. You say, why? Well, because he says so. It's the sign of the covenant, the new covenant that we're under. And so it was special to me to be baptized. But I need you to get this. When we baptize somebody, we get that picture. Christ died for our sins. And that's the picture of going under the water. He was buried. That's the picture of being under the water. And he rose again. That's the picture of coming up out of the water. Everybody get that? Okay, but you need to get this. It's not just what he did for you. It's what he's done in you. He says we are buried with him by baptism into death. The old man is dead. The old man is crucified. And we're to rise up to walk in newness of life. That doesn't happen because somebody put you underwater. That happens because you trusted in Christ. You don't rise to walk in newness of life because you got dunked in water. That's a picture of what has already happened by faith. Your old man is dead when you trust in Jesus. You're a new person in Christ when you trust in Jesus. It's by faith. Are you risen with Christ? So the question, what he's saying is, if you're risen with Christ, what he means is, have you trusted in Jesus? Are you trusting in his death and resurrection? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Are you trusting in Jesus right now? That's the question that I'm trying to ask you right now in this moment. Are you risen with Christ? Do you have life in Christ? Have you been quickened with him, made alive by faith in Jesus? You understand the question? The question is, are you still dead in your trespasses and sins, or are you alive in Jesus? You can stick with it for a second. Some of you are going to smile eventually. When you're reminded this morning that you're not dead in your trespasses and sins, that you're not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, you're not going to be separated from the presence and glory of God forever, but you are, in fact, not only do you have a home in heaven one day, but you are, in fact, right now in this moment, risen with Christ, alive in Christ, not dead in your sins anymore, but you have life in Jesus. You could at least look happy about it. You're killing me. Listen, this is the good news. This is the gospel. Are you risen with Christ? Okay, so go back to chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if it is a fact that you are born again. So the question is, are you risen with Christ? And so here it is. Some of you say amen. Some of you are grinning a little and look slightly happy that you're not going to hell forever. Good for you. But there are some of you hearing this message that might not be saved. And if you're not risen with Christ, the answer is repent and believe the gospel. Turn away from your sin and unbelief and call on the name of the Lord Jesus, because he died for you. And you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then the answer for you could be, yes, I am risen with Christ today. I'm alive in Jesus today. I have a home in heaven forever with Jesus. Amen? And if that's true, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you're risen with Christ, then seek and set things above. Now, these are awesome words. The first word, seek, means to endeavor. The idea is to endeavor toward those things which are above. And if you don't know where that is, it's where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Where is Jesus today? Some of you are like, that's a trick question. He's God. He's everywhere. Yes. God is omnipresent. He's all-powerful. But the scriptures describe our Savior Jesus having finished the work that he came to do, having made one sacrifice for all people for all time. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Hebrews teaches us, because the priest, every year they had to go back and make sacrifice for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. And they had to go back year after year after year after year. And rivers of blood of animals have been shed to be a temporary covering for the sins of the people. But not Jesus. When he offered his blood, he did it one time. And when it was finished, he went and sat down, because his work is done. It's done. It's finished. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, having done the work that he came to do. And he says to seek, endeavor toward the things which are above. And then he says, set your affection. That is one word in the Greek, phroneo. And it means to exercise the mind. It means to intensively interest oneself in something. All right? So we're going to seek, we're endeavor. Like, I don't know if anybody remember, there was a space shuttle called Endeavor. You remember that? I always thought that was a cool name. There have been ships named Endeavor. What is that? What we think about that? A journey. Like, they're trying to go somewhere. They're trying to find something. They're exploring for something. They're going out there where no man has gone before. No, this is a different E word. Though they're trying to go out there and they're trying to find something. They're seeking, they're searching diligently for something, exploring and moving towards a destination. And that ought to be us. I am endeavoring. I am seeking the things that are above. My effort of my life is towards Christ. It's towards his kingdom. And then to set your affection, to exercise your mind towards, to intensively interest yourself in something, not things on the earth, but things that are above. Now, here's the reality. Most of you in this room have intensively interested yourself in something in your life. And most of you, it's coming to your mind right now. What you're intensively interested in. Some of our young people are intensively interested in the games on their electronic devices. Intensively. Some of the not so young people are intensively interested in the games on their devices. There are some of you who are intensively interested in social media. There are some of you that if you have a second, your phone comes out and it's either like Candy Crush or scrolling through Facebook. It's where your mind goes immediately. Or where your mind doesn't go, because it's all mindless. Amen. Thank you. There are some people here that are intensively interested in killing Bambi. Or ducks. Or any other sad, poor little woodland creature. Amen? I'm not against you. I'm for you. Some of us, if we want a buck mounted on the wall, we've got to buy it at the flea market. But you're intensively interested in it. Well, how can you say that, preacher? You don't know what goes on in my mind. Oh, but we know. But we know. Well, you know what's in your heart and mind, because it comes out of your mouth. Listen, I got some friends that I'll talk to you about just about anything, but I have some men who are my friends that I do not say the word deer, doe, buck, blind, hunt, woods. Like, there are a lot of key words that you want to avoid, because if you say any of those key words, they're going to go on a rant for about 3 hours and you can't get away. And I like hunting. Don't misunderstand me. Some of you have intensively interested yourself in all kinds of things. I would pick on the guys because it's a little easier. But there are men in this room right now who could give you statistics to absolutely blow your mind about football players. They can tell you who played for this team and how long they played and how many yards they rushed for and how many tackles they had. And I mean, just all of that information. Why? Because they've intensively interested themselves in it. And I'm just trying to say to you, is that sinful? Maybe. If you love sports and hunting more than you love Jesus, that's a problem. God has given us a lot of things richly to enjoy. And I think there ought to think there, it's okay to be passionate about some things. But it's not okay to be more passionate about the things of this earth than we are things above. How could Christ be my life if I'm more interested in my hobbies than I am his kingdom? And here's what's awesome about it. Listen to me. I believe there are ways to keep Christ first and have him be your life and enjoy the things that he's given you to love. How cool is that? Not that you got to just throw it all in the trash and never do any of those things that you enjoy, but you can do them in Christ. The problem is that we're not very good at that. We tend to be double-minded. We tend to be earthly-minded or heavenly-minded and not both at the same time. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can keep Christ first in everything you do. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you're living your life in Christ, you can recognize when something's becoming a little bit too important for you. Right? Can't you? Can you tell when something's getting, it's getting a little bit too important? Work's kind of getting in there, and work has become a little bit too important for me, and I'm neglecting my walk with Jesus, or I'm neglecting my time with my family. I'm neglecting things that are more important. Can't you tell? Amen. Brother Tom and I can. We ought to interest ourselves intensively in the things of God. And it's evident when something is intensively interesting to you. Because you spend time in it. Spend time in it. We spend time and money on the things that we're interested in. I heard a long time ago that you could tell where somebody's heart is by looking at their check register. By checking their pocketbook, you can see what they love by where their money is. Because Jesus said so, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where are you investing your time? Where are you investing your money? I'm just trying to tell you this morning that if you're risen with Christ, then you ought to seek the things that are above. You ought to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Verse 3. Because you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life. Why should I be interested in the things in heaven? Why should I be focused on heavenly things? Why should I be endeavoring towards heavenly things? Because I'm dead. He said, well, you're not dead. You're standing there. We're having to listen to you right now. But I am dead. My life is over. My life ended the day I trusted Christ, and he gave me a new life. My life was done. My life that led to hell and destruction forever, that's over, and now I have new life in Christ, and that's the life I'm living now. Right? It's Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Help me out this morning. What happened to someone who was crucified? They died. You know, we wear crosses today as symbols of our faith in Jesus, but in Jesus' day, a cross was a symbol of one thing. That was death. When you came into town and the Romans put crosses outside the city, that meant somebody died. I'm going to tell you that the symbols have changed so much. You read history about the slaughter at Jerusalem in AD 70. They said that it looked like a forest outside of Jerusalem. There were so many crosses. They crucified thousands. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming into Jerusalem? I mean, in those days, they didn't know what had happened. Can you imagine coming into town the next day? Maybe you still see the smoke hanging in the horizon, and you come over the hill, and you just see a forest of crosses outside the city. And your heart would stop because you would recognize that every cross was a person who died. I died the moment I trusted Jesus, and I have new life in Christ. And you need to understand, if you're a Christian today, if you're born again today, if you're trusting Jesus as your Savior today, that means that you died sometime. And you have new life. Why should I be focused on the things above because I am dead. Because I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is my life. But that's not our attitude. Our attitude is, it's my life and I'll do what I want to. That's the American way after all. It's my life. But I want to help you out. We studied in our Sunday school class this morning that we're fellow citizens with the saints, that our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. Where's your home? Where's your home? You say, Liberty, Muldrow, Roland, Bikoshi, Brushy. I mean, you name all these towns. No, if you are a believer, your home is not here. Your home is there. This world's not my home. This isn't home. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. We want to set our affections on things above, that every aspect of our life is hid in Christ. What does it mean to hide something? I mean, what do you hide at home? When you're a kid growing up, you hide the things you don't want your siblings to get. Right? As you get older, you hide things that you don't want anybody to steal. Right? You hide your valuables. Sometimes you hide things that are valuable and you lock them up and you forget the combination. We're Oklahomans, and for Abigail's 16th birthday, she got a gun for her birthday because that's what you do. And we put it in a lockbox, and I set the code and promptly forgot the code. We've been spending about 6 months trying to crack the code. Melissa finally cracked the code. We got in there. What's the point? The point is that it's valuable, so we hid it. We put it inside the box. Right? Everybody with me? Your life is in Christ. It's locked up in Him. It's bound up in Him. It's hidden in Him. He surrounds your life. Your life is in Him. He protects you. He keeps you. He guards you. And everything you do is done in Him. But here's the problem that we have. We want to take ourselves out of Jesus to go do things that He doesn't want us to do. And it doesn't work that way. You're in Him. And the whole point of this part of the passage of the letter is, live as though your life is in Christ. Live your life as though you are risen with Him. Live as though when He shall appear, you're going to be with Him in glory. Live your life today as though you're going to live eternally with Christ in His glory. That's the whole point. So are you risen? What are you endeavoring towards? What's the direction of your life? Is it heavenly or is it earthly? Where are your affections? Where is your mind? What are you intensively interested in? The things of this earth or things above? Because if you're risen with Christ, then you ought to set your affection above on things above. Set your affection on Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1 and verse 20, the scripture says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And at the end of the day, our desire to be to live for the one who died for us and rose again. This morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, will you stand with me, please? Are you risen with Christ? If you are, first of all, rejoice. Rejoice that your citizenship is in heaven, and then set your affection, set your focus on Jesus this day and every day. And if the answer for you this morning is no, I'm not risen with Jesus. I'm not born again. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. Please hear me this morning. You can have the gift of eternal life right now. If you'll turn away from your sin and unbelief, you'll make a decision in your mind today that you don't want to go the direction you're going. You want to follow God If you'll trust with all your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again, you can call on his name and he will save you. He'll give you eternal life. And if you are saved, follow him. Be baptized. Live for him. Set your affection on things above. If he's convicting your heart about anything this morning, please don't walk away from this service unless your heart is thoroughly right with God today. He's convicting your heart. You come, pray right where you are, but let's get our hearts right with Jesus today. We sing.